Pastor Ray Bentley explains the way God tests us to prepare us for His service.
God will put us all in situations where we have to suffer patiently without yielding to pride or the lust of the flesh or the devil himself. Your personal testimony is the one area that you are the expert in the whole world on. Your own testimony. God will test you in order to give you a testimony.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Oswald Chambers said, "Before God can use a man greatly, He must wound him deeply." Times of testing can seem like God is wounding us. It's the kind of wounding that brings strong calluses and gentle empathy toward others. We'll learn about that today from our study of Joseph. Let's listen.
If you have your Bible, let's open it to Genesis chapter 40. The title of the message is Interpreting Dreams, and it's a familiar story if you've ever read the book of Genesis, and we're going to start actually back in chapter 39. I want to tell the story and lay the foundation, but this is the story about a man named Joseph who uniquely, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God revealed Himself in a way physically manifest. They saw the Lord, or the angel of the Lord. They heard the voice of God. His supernatural presence was revealed to the original patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we're to Joseph. He is the next patriarch, but it's different. He never sees God, the angel of the Lord, or any other supernatural manifestation, only through dreams. And what I like about that is Joseph is relatable. You know, he lived by faith just like you and me. But he was a very spiritual man. And God gave him dreams. Now we're going to tell a story about how he gets cast in prison. And he ends up telling the interpretations to the dreams of the chief butler and the chief baker in the house of Pharaoh. And is able to interpret them. And so I'm kind of doing a, you know, two-level message. We're going to tell the story of Joseph and real dreams because God reveals Himself through our dreams. But I want to say that there's another level of dreams, kind of like your desires, your heart's passion. And I think there's some lessons we can learn about our own individual dreams as well as the dreams of others and learn some exciting lessons. Okay, so if you weren't here, Joseph, we told the story from chapter 39. You know, he's already been sold his brothers got jealous of him. And it's no wonder, he's a young man, 17, and he has a dream that all of his other brothers are bowing down to him. And that got them, for some reason, all ticked off at him. So then he had another dream, and not only his brothers are bowing down, but mom and dad are bowing down too. So he raised the stakes to a whole new level. He gets sold, they're going to kill him, and then they say, no, let's make some money, and they sell him to the Ishmaelites. He's down in Egypt, and he's standing on the blocks, and he's being sold. I mean, this is the kid that wore the coat of many colors. He is the choice of his father to inherit the birthright and the blessing. And man, his life changed big time. And he had a dream that was from God that one day he would rule. So his life is turned upside down. That happens sometimes. God gives you a dream, God gives you a promise, and then He turns your world upside down and inside out. You go, what is this about? And here's where we learned God's sovereignty. He didn't know it at the time, but when he's 17 years old, standing, looking at all these strangers, speaking a foreign language he doesn't understand one word of, there's a guy who's been waiting. 99% of those who were sold into manual labor. But there happened to be a guy from the king's court. He was the head of secret service for the Pharaoh. And he wanted a young man. He wanted a man that was bright, that was intelligent, and that could help in his palace. He had a huge responsibility. So he watches and he waits. As he goes through the regular, all of a sudden, a young man stands up, and not only stands up, stands out. And Potiphar points and says, he bids on Joseph, I want that young man. That was the sovereignty of God. I don't know what Potiphar saw, but I do know that it's a pattern that God has repeated in every generation. Sometimes those who are in the world who are pagan, who don't know God or believe in God or believe in multiple gods or whatever, when a child of the true and the living God is before them, somehow they perceive something special, something unique. There's a favor. It's like, I want that guy. And that was the sovereignty of God that kind of shined a light on Joseph. He gets brought into a special situation, and very shortly, whatever task Joseph is given, he is so successful, and he is so creative and smart, and he makes it prosper, and so he gets more and more responsibility. Finally, Potiphar is letting Joseph rule and run all the other servants of his entire household and estate and all the rest of it. In fact, he doesn't even check on Joseph. He just eats his own bread, whatever he wants. But there's his wife, and Potiphar's wife sees this young guy, lusts after him, tries day after day repeatedly to entice him, and finally grabs his coat of many colors and tries to drag him into the bedroom, to which he, you know, does the whatever judo move to get out of it and flees. So he becomes a living example of what the rest, we're in Genesis. So Genesis lays a foundation that gets repeated all the way to the book of Revelation. He sets the pattern in a story of how every child of God should deal with temptation. And that is run. Don't stay. Don't try to stand there and be strong. Let me see how close I can get without yielding. No. Run from temptation. Well, he runs, and then the wife is caught with his robe. What do I, now it's going to look like I did something, which he did. And so she lies, calls all the servants in, her husband comes in. And we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 39, verse 19. It says, and so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him. She told the story, oh, the young man came and he tried to take advantage of me. Your servant did to me after this manner, that his, Potiphar's, anger was aroused. We don't know if he was angry at Joseph or his wife or the situation that now he had to do something to save face. Because, you know, honestly, in those days, a servant did something like that to your wife, you'd be dead. But Potiphar does not kill him. He puts him in the king's prison. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So this is where we're going to leave off. And I remind you that God had given him a dream that you're going to rule. And Joseph, you know, told everybody about it, probably in his youth and pride. But now, you know, these circumstances, I don't think he thought of it that way at the time. But at the end of his life, and us looking backwards, everywhere he went, he ruled. If it was in, whether it was in the, you know, as a servant in Potiphar's house, or an accused criminal in the king's prison, the Lord being with you is what always makes a difference. Can I hear an amen on that? Now, it's interesting, I put in here a Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19 in your notes. I hadn't seen this or put these two things together the last time I went through Genesis, but I saw this and I wanted to put it in here because, interestingly, the Psalms add a detail that we're not told in the book of Genesis. It says, in fact, let's read it out loud together, Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. So this tells us that, you know, it was the king's prison. So it was kind of a special place. It wasn't like a pit or a dungeon like other prisoners would be. But at the same time, we should not think of it as just, you know, some house or something. At least in the beginning, the story was kept, probably orally, until finally it got written down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, I want you to add this detail about my servant Joseph. When he was thrown into that prison, his feet were in iron fetters, meaning they were locked together by a heavy iron, kind of instrument. And then his neck, another version says, he had an iron collar on his neck for a period of time. Now, eventually it got taken off and he got raised up and he was running the whole prison. But initially, this was his experience. What's interesting is in the Hebrew, it says that his soul went into iron, or something, even to reverse it, iron went into his soul. So here's this young guy suffering. What do you think? You know, what's happening here? That experience of suffering, the weight of it, one of the comments from the Hebrew perspective is that the weight of the iron around his neck and his feet were symbolic of the weight he really felt, which was even heavier in his soul. Joseph went down into depression. He kind of lost it while he is there. It doesn't give us any details, but the picture and the language that is used is telling us he went down. And the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord. Well, what does that mean, the word of the Lord tested him? Because in Joseph, in his mind, he's thinking, I have been chosen by God to rule and to reign. That's my future. That's my destiny. And I know it was from of God. And yet, what in the world am I doing here? And why am I being unfairly treated? He had time to sit and think with this heavy stuff around his neck and his feet, going, this is what it means to be, you know, the chosen of God and used of God. Why am I suffering? Now, God had a destiny for Joseph. And that destiny was one day he was going to be sitting on the throne. And just like everywhere else, he got raised up. He's basically going to be running the whole Egyptian nation, which was basically ruling the world. Pharaoh, just like Potiphar and just like the prison guard, they took it easy because Joseph ran the show. And that's what Joseph finally does. He sits on the throne and runs the nation of Egypt while Pharaoh, you know, gets waved with the palm branches and eats grapes. But Joseph was doing all of the work. And so he had a lot of time to think about, what is this? And I want you to know this, that dream that he had, I think initially all of us want a dream from God. God gives us dreams. God gives us a vision. And we initially think, wow, he gave me this gift. He gave me this opportunity. He's put me in a position. And it's all about us. But what Joseph needed to learn and could only learn not by sitting on a throne at such a young age, but by suffering. Joseph would learn that dream was really not just about him. That dream really was about his family. And it wasn't about him ruling over his family. Once it comes to fruition, it's going to be about him having that power and using it to serve his family. Because Joseph's going to be a type of Jesus. And so it was not even just about the family and the brothers that were the tribes. That dream was about an entire nation. Again, way beyond Joseph and even the family, God was going to use Egypt in which to take a family and multiply it into several million people. A nation was going to come from this time in Egypt. And from that nation would come the real king who would sit on the throne and rule and reign forever and ever. One of the most important lessons then that Joseph must learn before he's able to rule in a way that honors his Father in heaven is endurance. To carry on faithful to the Lord and not let go of the promise that God had given to him despite hardships. It was necessary for this young man to bear with great patience when he was unjustly and unfairly treated. And as we'll find out, Joseph's going to be given wisdom at a time of tremendous crisis when there's no food and there's famine. But because he has iron in his soul and he is humble and dependent upon God, he will use his position to serve others and therefore become a type of Jesus Christ himself. So to suffer patiently. God will put us all in situations where we have to suffer patiently without yielding to pride or the lust of the flesh or the devil himself. And so I put it as simply and plainly as I could, because I've heard this many times and many sermons, so many, I don't know who the original, you know, one was that came up with it, but there it is. God will test you in order to give you a testimony. You want a testimony, and I'm telling you, this is a truth. Your personal testimony is the one area that you are the expert in the whole world on. Your own testimony. There's no other person with all the degrees and everything else that is a better expert on your life than you, because nobody can tell you what you saw, what you heard, what you thought, what you felt, what it was like. No, you are the expert on your own life. And that's why in the book of Revelation, when it says they overcame him, the devil, by the word of their testimony, there's power when you say, no, no, no. You don't tell me what I thought, what I felt. I'm telling you, this is the way it was, and I was lost, and Jesus found me, and now I'm saved. Bam. They overcame him by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and they were not afraid even to lay down their lives. It's very, very powerful. But steel, iron, needs to be worked into our soul. So God permitted Joseph to be unfairly treated in order to build his character and to prepare him for the future God had planned. That prison actually was not wasted time. God never wastes anything. God uses everything. In fact, the very things that you think were a loss or a waste of your time are things that God has especially used as a school for all of you and me. It was a school in which Joseph was to learn how much it costs to wait on the Lord for his timing. You know, it's easy for Joseph to say, God, you made a promise for me to rule. Here I am, and you know, I'm in iron. I'm in prison. I'm your guy. You're not looking good right now. Vindicate yourself. And of course, it would be a lot easier on me if you did it right now. So it's necessary that God has to, he has to prepare us for the time that we will one day rule and reign with him. You know, it's interesting, I will quote often when I give the gospel, Revelation 3:20, where it says, Jesus wrote this letter to the church saying, I'm standing at the door knocking. If anybody hears my voice and will open the door, I will come into them and sup with them. And we use that for salvation. He's standing, he's with you. He's standing at the door of your heart. If you'll invite him in, he'll come in. And to have to sup and fellowship means we'll be family. You'll be brand new, born again. Revelation 3:20. Guess what the very next verse says? You open the door, he comes in, you're part of the family, you're in the kingdom, and then the next verse says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. This is way beyond Joseph sitting on a throne in ancient Egypt thousands of years ago. This is you and I sitting on a throne with Jesus Christ. He's inviting us to share the kingdom. We have no comprehension what that means. But I'll tell you this, that's why presently, currently, temporarily, we are suffering. There's a purpose for it. There's a reason. God's working iron into our soul, and one day, a million years from now, we'll look back and go, so that's what this was all about. And it will be used by the Lord in many ways. So now let's go back to Genesis chapter 40. And let me read the first part of this story. It's a story that goes by pretty fast. It says, it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So these are two guys that they don't see the king occasionally. They see him every day, several times a day. And something, they did something to offend him. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Notice, Joseph is out of the fetters, out of the irons. He's in charge. And so whoever gets, you know, introduced as new inmates, they got to meet Joseph, and he gets to know them and their name and their identity and their position. And it says, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. Meaning, this was divine, it was from God. These two key individuals have a dream the same night. And in verse 6, and Joseph came into them in the morning, and he looked at them, and he saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? What's going on, fellas? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God, the one true God? And then he says, tell them to me, please. And then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth and clusters brought forth ripe grapes. And then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. So in verse 12, and Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore to you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. All right, so now it's not just Joseph, but everybody's having dreams in the prison. And dreams played a very important role in the ancient Egyptian culture. What's interesting is already in the culture of Egypt, they saw dreams as being a viable way to know prophecy, advice, counsel. And God now began giving dreams to Joseph in order to communicate to that culture. What does that tell us? That God loves the Egyptians. He loves everybody. And that's why he told Abraham, yeah, you're the chosen people. But a lot of people get mad and they go, why are they the chosen people? Because everybody else thinks they're not. The reason God chose them, he chose them so he could choose everybody else. But he had to start somewhere. And the Messiah had to come from some family and some tribe. And he did. But he brings it all together in the end.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good insight on God's providence, as clearly seen in the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called Interpreting Dreams. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Genesis on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Do you like surprises? Well, you'll find a number of them in Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. It's for those who are real students of Bible prophecy and for those who want to be. And it digs deeper and uncovers insights perhaps you've never heard before. Some of the things Pastor Ray uncovered surprised even him.
I think one of the most unique characters that totally blew my mind that I found out is probably Jewish was Christopher Columbus. It has huge implications for the United States, for our country, for America, but also for the relationship between Jews and Gentiles.
For many years, Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. Now he's combined that unique perspective with his knowledge of Bible prophecy to bring you The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan can be seen in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray explains the many ways Israelis are hearing from God today. Let us send you your own personal copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if you have occasion to join Pastor Ray for one of his weekend services at Maranatha Chapel in northern San Diego County, be sure to catch him after the service and let him know you listen to Maranatha Radio. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Genesis. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.